A young, professional, well-educated black couple raising two girls in the Chicago area makes a commitment that will change their lives. No, not that couple. This is the story of Maggie and John Anderson, affluent African-Americans who grew tired of bemoaning the lack of black entrepreneurs and committed to spend a year supporting the black community and buying only from black-owned businesses. This goal proved to be more difficult in practice than either of them had anticipated. That year is chronicled in Ms. Anderson's book, Our Black Year, published by Public Affairs. I am so happy it brings her here today. Welcome, Maggie Anderson.
I'm happy to. Thank you.
This book is challenging because you wade right into direct confrontation with all kinds of stereotypes. It's almost impossible to read this book and not be talking to yourself while you're reading it. Again and again, we see this middle-class family, you and your husband and your two daughters, entering unfamiliar territory on a kind of a quest. Describe the original idea. What motivated this whole experiment?
The experiment was motivated out of a conversation that is very old in the black community. And it's about, number one, our supporting each other, our solidarity, our having pride and unity, all that stuff. But in the economic context, we don't talk about it forcefully. We talk about loving each other, supporting each other. But when it comes to the businesses, we don't have that conversation. And what's happened is that it's become our culture to want to spend our money outside of the community. It's kind of our way of proving our worth to the outside world. I've made it because I can afford Polo and I can afford to drink Hennessy. It used to be a badge of honor to be able to say that you go to a black-owned grocery store, hardware store, go to a, have a black professional to fulfill your household and business needs. So all of those conversations, those very delicate conversations, were the essence of this experiment. So our thing was, you know, stop talking about it and be about it. So if we want to do something about our not supporting each other, if we want to do something about our not having this pride in our community, if we want to do something about our businesses suffering from these negative stereotypes, maybe we should make a commitment to support the businesses that are out there. Maybe we can inspire other folks to support quality businesses and really give our kids something to believe in the community. The big problem that we wanted to address was the lack of role models in our community coming from the business community. You know, it's the leaders are the gangbangers. And it used to be that the leaders were the shop owners. So that was the problem we wanted to address. But the experiment came out of that discussion.
Well, one of the startling statistics you throw out there very early on in the book is about dollars moving around in the neighborhood and how long a dollar – can you go over that? How long a dollar stays in a neighborhood.
Right. We never really knew the statistic, but among black people, the joke is just, you know, that dog was running faster than a black dollar out of the community. You know, it's just something we laugh about. But we did some digging, and the number is horrible, that the dollar stays in the black community for 6 hours. And that basically means that as soon as we earn anything, as soon as we bring something home, we put it in, let's say, a majority-owned bank, or we go down the street and put it in that Greek-owned grocery store or that Arab-owned restaurant that's right in our community. And a lot of that, the people who live there, they feel like the money is stolen from their community because things have gotten so bad in the black community in terms of business ownership. They don't have a choice but to support businesses that do not employ in, do not invest in, the communities that where they're situated. So the bottom line is you go in there, you shop, that shop owner puts that steel door down and goes to his suburb and takes that money away. So that 6 hours is, I believe, at the heart of all the social problems that we face.
Is that the word leakage? Is that...
That's leakage. That's the economic terminology. Yes, it's leakage. And we have a special case of leakage in the black community. In other communities, the dollar survives for up to 28 days before it goes to outsiders. Folks in the Asian community, they come home, put it in an Asian-owned bank. That bank invests in local businesses. The consumers go to an Asian restaurant that night, go to an Asian-owned furniture store, a market, and the money keeps circulating, and it helps that community stay self-sustaining. We don't have that in the Black community, and that's why our schools are underfunded.
And it's very hard to find the normal resources in the neighborhood anyway. Even as you started to go looking for places to shop for your food and all the normal things that your family needs, you couldn't find the Black-owned enterprises. And generally, the neighborhoods were, I mean, we just had a guest on who used the word desert to describe
what's
happening in these neighborhoods. I lived in the South Side of Chicago in the early 70s, and I learned a big lesson. You know, don't walk down to 63rd Street shop, which is where I lived in that neighborhood. The food was just was inedible in the produce, and so I used to have to walk 20 blocks north to go to the place where they had what I could actually eat. Is it possible that running certain kinds of businesses like grocery stores are so difficult that no Americans want to do it? I mean, isn't it always an immigrant who's usually doing this? I'm Armenian, so I mean, I know that these, or my grandparents were. So these people come to the U.S. and they take on these difficult tasks. Running a grocery store is really hard.
Right.
We have Korean grocery store owners a lot in New York City. Is there any? Do you have any?
Well, yeah, and we've learned a lot of these economic terms, that the food and retail deserts. That's another one that we didn't know about. With all of our fancy degrees, we didn't know about this stuff in the Black community, and that other thing is I think they call it the middleman broker. So the immigrant groups coming here looking for the American dream are willing to open up enterprises in places where the major corporations and just plain old American businesses don't want to set up shop. So that's a predominant reason for this lack of Black businesses in the Black neighborhood, is that it's a place where you get low space, low rent for space, and it's a place where people still need to eat. They still need groceries, and the ethnic Europeans and Asian folks have been able to leverage that. It causes a lot of racial tension.
Yes.
In the community, and especially since back in the 50s and 60s, we did have Black-owned businesses fulfilling those needs. And because of the Black community abandoning those businesses when integration started to set in, we lost those businesses. Those businesses are gone now, and it's not the ethnic Europeans and other immigrant groups' fault that they came in the 70s and 80s and just leverage their phenomenon. Here's a group that doesn't have these businesses here, and they have no problem with spending outside of the community. Why don't we set up shop here? So that's what led to it. So there's cultural reasons, historical reasons, but the bottom line now is that the shops that we do have in the community are not good quality. There are the food desert issues that lead to health disparities, and there are no Black businesses there. So all of those problems really contribute to why the Black community suffers in America. And I don't think the one answer is to go out and support Black businesses. My point in doing this experiment is just to have this conversation. Let's figure out ways to fix all of these problems that are persisting specifically and more abundantly in my community.
So you and your husband started the Empowerment Experiment and the Empowerment Experiment Foundation. And so it's to open discourse. That's what
yes,
you're saying.
That's
and you have
it.
Been doing this. You've been going around and you speak. You have a huge schedule that you're constantly going from one thing to the next. I don't know if you have the time to write.
Folks have responded to this. And what's wonderful is not limited to people in my community. Folks in my community were heroes, that there's a middle-class family with an Ivy League background that's willing to stand up for poor Black people. That's really exciting in my community. But we also are so proud of the fact that folks outside of the community, mainstream media, universities, corporations, are engaging in this conversation as well. We want to promote more supplier diversity. A lot of American businesses thrive off the Black consumer dollar, but they don't reciprocate that loyalty by doing business with our business owners. That's supplier diversity, and there's not anywhere near enough. Kraft gets tons of accolades for their supplier diversity. They maybe do 4.5% of their business with women and minorities. So 95% of their supply chains are dedicated to white males. There's a big, let's say, opportunity space there for them to do more business with black business owners. So we're pushing that as well. And Kraft, GM, lots of well-meaning corporations want to do more business with our top quality talent. We just got to broker that. We just got to make sure that the talented folks know where to go, how to get access, and we can make that happen. And that can be a huge boon for the community, for America.
I want to give people a sense of what they're going to find in this book. It's filled with personalities, all the shop owners, some of whom are just incredibly, your heart melts when they come out of a back room and they give you a hug and they, but there's one personality who sits in the middle of the book, Maria Stewart, who is a historical character.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about Maria Stewart historically in this topic?
I guess she's my inspiration, and I didn't know it. I didn't know much about her before the experiment, but in doing our research, it was wonderful to see that there have been consumer-driven movements to economically empower our community from way back in the 1800s. We were still slaves, and we had folks out there trying to get us to support each other and economically empowers and who saw the direct connection between economic empowerment and countering the social crises that disproportionately impact us. So she was out there connecting our political disenfranchisement with our economic disenfranchisement. And that's the connection that I want to make. She was telling folks she came from an entrepreneurial background herself, her family. And she was telling folks that we should not be supporting businesses that don't respect us, that are not for abolition. So she pushed that message out there, and she was a fireball, just like me. I'm presenting my sweet self today, but on the road, I'm very, very passionate about this. And it's because I think about folks like her. I think about other civil rights leaders, freedom fighters who gave up everything for our community. And it's kind of because I've been living this life of a hypocrite. They didn't go through all that. Maria didn't go through all that. Rosa Parks didn't go through all that just so that I can buy nice things. They did that so that we can be empowered to continue in our tradition of struggle and unity. And most black folks like me with the Harvard degrees and the JD MBAs from University of Chicago and who can brag about the fact that a president of the United States was their constitutional law professor at University of Chicago, most folks like us, we don't spend time on the West Sides and the South Sides. We don't go near 63rd Street, which, by the way, is the location of the black-owned subway that I support. So I go there. I buy a gift card at that location. So I don't go there a lot, but I do support that business. So it's, you know, you can be creative about supporting the businesses that empower our community. But the bottom line is not enough of us go back to the 63rd streets. So we hope that in the empowerment experiment, we can say, look, I know you're not going to march. I know you're not going to rally like we used to. But every day, if you just try to support a business that is black or not, that's investing in our community and hiring our people, then you can be a part of the Maria Stewart tradition, too.
I'm speaking with Maggie Anderson, who wrote Our Black Year about her attempts to buy black. It's published by Public Affairs. I mentioned earlier that I'm second generation Armenian immigrants, came over and they made good to some degree. And do you think that the people who, I think you do think this, you just said this, but I mean, don't you think some people feel that if they bootstrap themselves out of a dire situation, that they, why should they have any particular feeling about this community that's denoted by skin color or ethnicity or language? Why not just say, hey, I'm just this guy, I've made it, and onward?
Yes, and that's a huge conversation in our community. Everything we've gained here in America has come because we worked together and we united. And although we have our political freedoms, we're still suffering as a people. And that is not going to change unless we do what we've done in the past and unite. So, yes, it would be wonderful. And I hope we get to that day where we're not just defined by being black people. So you got to be black, buy black, think black, be black all the time. We're Americans. We have different needs and different tastes and preferences. I totally understand that. But because we came here together on slave ships And because those folks before us are responsible for every luxury I have today, I owe it to them to do something to make sure this community still thrives. It doesn't have to define my existence, but at the same time, it should compel us to try to make things better for those folks who haven't been able to leverage the opportunities that we have.
Is it, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but is it realistic that people are going to drive 40 minutes to fill their gas tank?
No, it's not. and I always say it right here on your show. I am not encouraging folks to go out there and conduct the empowerment experiment. You know from reading the book that it was awful. It was very painful. And it took a lot of work. I think we spent maybe 5 days a week looking for the businesses and maybe one day a week actually going out and supporting them. We're pushing the message. And there are a lot of low-hanging fruit that folks like me aren't taking advantage of, professionals that we could be using. All of us should have an account in a Black-owned community bank. I mean, that's just too easy. A lot of the things I do, I get online, my makeup, I buy from a fantastic up-and-coming Black business. I don't have to go drive 40 miles for that. Farmers markets, they show up at our churches. Most of these Black folks who say they're too busy to go into the hood still go into the hood every Sunday to go to that Black church. Support the farmers market. Stay a little bit after church and support that farmers market. Subscriptions to Black-owned media, to your Black-owned paper. These little things can generate considerable incremental growth, economic power in our community, and empower some great businesses and entrepreneurs. So if we can do that, as we demonstrated in the study, maybe 2% of our business 2% of our money goes back to the Black community. If we can get that to 10%, so not 100%, 10%, we could potentially create 1 million jobs in underserved neighborhoods. So get to that 10%. That's all I'm saying. Don't do 40 miles, but get to that 10%.
That's totally doable.
It is. That's the point.
And if you want to participate in this, you just can find you guys online and the Empowerment Experiment Foundation. I've been speaking with Maggie Anderson about her book, Our Black Year, One Family's Quest to Buy Black in America's Racially Divided Economy, which is published by Public Affairs. And Maggie Anderson will be speaking and signing books tomorrow night at 6 at Hugh Mann Bookstore. That's at 2319 Frederick Douglass Boulevard between 124th and 125th Streets. Maggie, thank you for joining us.
Tonight, we're going to be at Columbia Business School at 6 o'clock, right there in Harlem as well. So please come out and see us.